this week, Russ. Come and jeer memories. And we have Raymond Lennon, former Roscommon goalkeeper, and this week we're going to be talking about the Dublin versus Roscommon game down in Portlaoise, I believe it was. Isn't that right, Ray?
That's right, Aidan. It was Roscommon against Dublin in Portlaoise in the league quarter final, and it took place in April of 1990, 30 years ago this year. And it was one of Roscommon's greatest ever victories, Aidan, in any tournament, in the league or the championship. And it ended after extra time, would you believe, 2-22 to Roscommon, 3-13 to Dublin. It was an amazing game. So that's 28 points to Roscommon and 22 points to Dublin. And it finished 111 14 points at the end of normal time. But in extra time, Roscommon really took off, and they scored 2-9 to 2-2 to Dublin's 2-2 in extra time. And it was an amazing game of football. Probably the standout performer for Roscommon on the day was Tony McManus. Tony scored 2 goals and 5 points, as well as setting up a host of chances. And Tony ensured it was a nightmare game for his direct opponent, Noel McCaffrey. And Noel McCaffrey was Dublin cornerback. He's the father of Jack McCaffrey, that plays for Dublin now. He's a doctor. And he was team doctor for Dublin for a few years after he retired. But Noel McCaffrey was a brilliant footballer. And Tony McManus scored 2-5 off him that day and set up more scores. But Aidan, I remember being at the game, and I remember the atmosphere. There was 12,000 at the game. Roscommon had an amazing amount of support. At that time, there was an experimental rule going on where the game was divided into 4 quarters of 15 minutes. So in the first quarter, Roscommon led by 6 points to no score, playing with the breeze. And Dublin fought back to level at half-time, 1-5 to 8 points. Eventually, it ended up, as I said, 111 to 14 points at the end. But in the second period of extra time, Roscommon took off. And Roscommon were a Division 2 team at the time. They were Division 2 champions, and Dublin were the Division 1 side. And Dublin were simply overwhelmed by the intricate and imaginative play, by the cohesion and understanding, and also by the tremendous scoring power of Roscommon. That's the way it was described. Yeah. And with 15 minutes left, the Dubs were still in the game, but they were losing by 117 to 113. But then Roscommon scored 1-4 without reply to go ahead by 221 to 113. And Dublin got 2 goals at the end of the game from Joe McNally and Niall Clancy to put a bit of respectability on it. But it was an amazing game of football, and Roscommon really showed themselves that time, that they were a serious force and contender in Connacht and further. And of course, they went on to win the Connacht Championship that year. Paul Early had a great game as well. He played out around the middle of the field, and he was started full forward. But Paul Staunton was the goalkeeper for Roscommon, and he made what was awarded the save of the year that year. I think it was a shot from Kieran Duff. It was an unbelievable save from way out. The shot came from way out, and Paul Staunton dived full stretch to save it. So Roscommon had great performers with Tony McManus up front, Eamon McManus Jr., Michael Donlan from Strokestown, and Paul Early. As I said, Paul Early exchanged positions with John Newton at midfield. That was a ploy in that era under Martin McDermott for John Newton and Paul Early to switch. You know, they alternated between full forward and midfield. Also, Seamus Killorden played very, very well. And in the backs, Pat Dorey, Fran Nicholson and Padraig McNeil were heroes, the papers described them. Vincent Glennon also had a good game. Owen McManus from Clannagale. Owen was a fiery player for Roscommon and Clannagale, a great footballer. And I remember that day in Portlaoise, he really got into the Dubs. He really, you know, he was a real hero for Roscommon, Owen McManus. And that was probably his finest display in a Roscommon jersey. He was so committed. The tackles he put in that day will live long in the memory. But it was a brilliant game of football. Former Roscommon manager Tommy Carr was playing for Dublin that day, and he scored a point. And it set Roscommon up then, Aidan, for a league semi-final position against Down, which happened 2 weeks after. And unfortunately, Roscommon lost to Down in Croke Park by 4-8 to 11 points. So a brilliant performance for Roscommon against Dublin in 1990 in Portlaoise.
that's it. And I mean, you know, it goes to show you the sort of talent that, like we said in the last Roscommon GAA memories, the sort of talent we have all the time as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Aidan. And it showed that Roscommon were a serious team around that time. You know, they won the Connacht Championship in 1990 and in 1991. And, excuse me, as a Division 2 team, they turned out in force against Dublin in Portlaoise that day. And, like, they beat Dublin by 6 points. It could have been a lot more. Dublin just put a bit of respectability on the scoreboard at the end of the game. But it was an absolutely brilliant game of football. And the paper said Dublin had problems in attack and they struggled woefully in defence with their full back line incredibly open. Paul Carr and, to a lesser extent, Tommy Carr, Paul Curran, rather, and to a lesser extent, Tommy Carr, were the main men in the backs that day. And Tommy Carr scored the point that brought it to extra time. And the paper said that extra time turned into a total disaster for Dublin because Roscommon beat them 2-9 to 2-2 in extra time. And, of course, the main talking point was Tony McManus scoring 2-5 off Noel McCaffrey. But one of the great displays for Roscommon of all time in the league anyway, like to go down to Portlaoise in the league quarter final and to give, you know, Dublin a right drubbing. Paddy Cullen was the manager the following year, 1991, when Dublin exacted revenge against Roscommon. Roscommon got to the league semi-final in 1991 in Croke Park, and Paddy Cullen was the manager of Dublin that day, Aidan. And a year later, Roscommon were beaten out the gate in Croke Park by the same Dublin team, 118 to 11 points. And headline said, Cullen's Deadly Destroyers. That's the headline in the paper to describe Dublin's easy win. It was called, it was said it was not the ideal afternoon for a Sunday stroll. Conditions were cold and damp. But under the orders of Paddy Cullen, Dublin's footballers made the best of their lot at Croke Park yesterday. That was the opening paragraph in the report. You know, it was such a lackluster Roscommon performance, and Kieran Duff had a big say. He came in as a substitute. Mick Galvin came on as well and played well. But Roscommon never really got going. And it looked like they were doing a lot of hard training, and they weren't really as up to it as Dublin on the day. And it proved later on the year, Roscommon really peaked for the championship in 1991 when they beat Leitrim, and then the replay, the kind of final, they beat Mayo in Dr. Hyde Park, which we covered a few weeks ago. There was 30,394 people at that game in 1991 for the semi-final, and Vinnie Murphy proved the main architect of Roscommon's downfall. He tormented the Roscommon defence, and he scored 3 points in the opening 15 minutes, and then he got a goal after 18 minutes. Matty Riley was tasked with curtailing Vinnie Murphy because Pat Dory was out injured that day. And as I said, 8 Dublin forwards in all scored, and the half-back line of Tommy Carr, Keith Barr and Eamon Heary were well on top of Roscommon. So it was a disappointing day out for Roscommon in 1991. It was the exact flip side of the coin from 1990, when Roscommon tore into Dublin and beat them in extra time, you know, handsomely. In 91, it was a different Dublin team under a different Dublin manager. Gerry McCall was the manager in 1990, and he was replaced, of course, by Paddy Cullen in 1991. So at midfield, Seamus Killorden was midfield, and Paul Early was out midfield as well, and John Newton went into the full forward line. And they were up against Dave Forden and Paul Clark for the Dubs. And really, Roscommon struggled. On a few occasions, Vincent Glennon and Tommy Grehan had a chance to run at the Dublin defence, and they brought some rewards, but there was no consistency. Joey Connaughton played well in the backs for Roscommon, and it would have taken a performance of impossible proportions to save them from their fate. That's what Donal Keenan wrote in the paper on the day after the game. So the Dubs machine cracked up 1-6 within 13 minutes, and were well on course for victory. And of course, as I said, Vinnie Murphy was the main man. Dublin led 1-9 to 6 points at halftime, and ended up winning by 118 to 11 points. So Roscommon regrouped. They went down to Carrick and Shannon and beat Leitrim in the first round of the Connacht Championship. Then they drew with Mayo in the Connacht Championship final in Castlebar, 14 points apiece, and eventually won the Connacht final by a point in Hyde Park, 13 points to 1-9. In 1990, of course, Roscommon won the Connacht final against Galway. They'd beaten Leitrim as well. So I'll give you the Roscommon team, Aidan, from 1990 first.
Exactly, yeah.
The team down in Portlaoise. The team that, you have to say, were real heroes. They put such a performance in. One of the greatest performances by a Roscommon team. And it took place in Portlaoise in early April 1990. And of course, we spoke last week about the great performance by Roscommon in 2003 in Portlaoise when Roscommon beat Kildare in the qualifier game. But the Roscommon team in 1990 was Paul Staunton in goals, Gary Wynne, Pat Dory, Fran Nicholson, Paul Hickey, Pádraig McNeill, Matty Riley, Seamus Killorden, John Newton, Owen McManus, Eamon McManus Jr. and Andy Leyland, Michael Donnan, Paul Early and Tony McManus. And then the subs were Vincent Glennon came on for Owen McManus in the first half. Then Des Newton came on for Matty Riley after 29 minutes. He was injured, Matty Riley. Tom Lennon of Clannagale came on for Andy Leyland in the 50th minute. And then an extra time, Owen McManus came on for Tom Lennon. And I remember Owen McManus the extra time, he was just immense. He just tackled everything. And then Eamon Henry came on for Pádraig McNeill. He was injured, Pádraig McNeill, great player from Roscommon Gaels. And then Donald Brady came on for Paul Hickey. So that was the Roscommon team. Eamon Henry used to play cornerback. He used to play for a team up in Kildare in Athy, and he played a bit for Roscommon back in the early 90s, late 80s. I'll just give you some of the Dublin team as well, Aidan, because they're all household names, you know.
I'd say they're players everyone had known. Charlie Redmond was a great player for Dublin as well.
He was, yeah. He wasn't playing that day, but the Dublin team was John O'Leary, Noel McCaffrey, Jerry Harrigan, Mick Kennedy, Paul Curran, Tommy Carr, Eamon Heary, and they were a fantastic half-back line, Carr, Heary and Curran. Midfield was Dave Foran and Paul Clark, then Ray Holland, Barney Rock and Kieran Duff, Niall Clancy, Mick Galvin and Vinnie Murphy. Joe McNally came on for Barney Rock, and then Keith Barr came on for Dave Foran, and Jay Hayes for Kieran Duff, and Alan McNally for Vinnie Murphy in extra time of the 1990 game. And I'll just give you the team for the 1991 game in Crow Park, Aidan, where Dublin were the dominant force and beat us by 118 to 11 points. The Roscommon team was, Gay Sheridan was in goals. He had won back his place from Paul Staunton. Paul Staunton played in the league in 91, and then he played in the quarter-final in 91. Paul Staunton played against Tyrone, but then he lost his place to Gay Sheridan for that league semi-final. And then the team was Gay Sheridan, Gary Wynne, Matty Riley and Des Newton. Of course, there was no Enan Gavin then, but Enan Gavin came in and played in the championship. Then you had Joey Connaughton. Enan Gavin was centre-half-back. Enan Gavin was centre-back. He was cornerback in the championship.
Yeah.
And then David O'Connor, left-half-back. Midfield, John Newton and Seamus Killorden. And then you had Vincent Glennon, Michael Donnan, Tommy Graham, Derek Duggan, Paul Early and Tony McManus. The sub for Eamon McManus for John Newton. James Heenan, he was from Michael Glavy, seems a good player. And would you believe it, the man himself came on for Derek Duggan only. Who but Shane Curran came on the forwards for Derek Duggan. Like, and we spoke last week with Shane Curran. Like, Roscommon, Shane Curran, Aidan, I was just thinking today about Shane Curran. You see the runs he used to make from the goals out the field with the ball.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we had Shane Curran making those runs from the centre half forward position for Roscommon? Running through, do you know, if we had him running through defences, you can imagine, like, you see, even when Shane, for Bridget's, the power he had, the speed, his ball control, imagine him making those runs from deep, from midfield or from the half-forward line. I think we would have got, like, don't get me wrong, Shane was a great goalkeeper and served Roscommon very, very well. But I think he could have made even a greater difference for the county team had we him.
Yeah.
Do you know, I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but
I think so too, because, you know, because I mean, you know, that everyone knows him from, you know, that moment in the 1989 kind of final, when he blasted the penalty, and of course we all know the controversy that whipped up and all that.
Yeah.
So he was a great minor that year, and you know, I suppose most of his underage career at club and county was always as an outfield player. So I suppose transition from an outfield player to being a goalkeeper. But you know, it would have been, I still think, you know, once you have it, you never lose it. And I think he would have been a great player for Scotland at senior level as an outfield player as well. But I suppose the way to say it is that it happened that he was chosen in goals. But I suppose it would have been handy to have him in that way, that he could play outfield or in goal. But you know, at senior level, they just had him in goal and that was it. But maybe it wouldn't have been any harm, maybe in the odd friendly challenge game, maybe to have him outfield and, you know, to have him as an extra option as an outfield player as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And Shane Curtin, as I said, a great goalkeeper, and his skill as a goalkeeper is excellent, and his forward play really, really good. And it's a question now of it's a question for debate. It's a moot point now at this stage, but he was a really talented forward, Shane Curtin, there's no question. The referee that day in 91 in Croke Park, Aidan, was Tommy Sugrue from Kerry. And yeah, I'll give you the Dublin team because, like, they were all household names that people might like to know. John O'Deary was in goals, Mick Deegan, Kieran Walsh, Mick Kennedy, Tommy Carr, Keith Barr, Eamon Heary, Dave Foran, Paul Clark, midfield, Charlie Redmond, Jack Sheedy, and Niall Guyton, and the full forward line, Paul Curtin, Vinnie Murphy, and David McCarthy, maybe. The subs, Kieran Duff for Niall Guyton and Mick Galvin for McCarthy. And the scorers, Roscommon scorers, Michael Donnan got 3 points, John Newton 2 points, Derek Duggan 2 points, Des Newton, Vincent Glennon, Tommy Graham and Paul Early all scored a point in 1991. And I give you the scorers in 1990. I don't think I've given you the scorers. But the scorers in 1990... they were Tony McManus scored 2 goals and 5 points. Like, talk about, like, Tony McManus. As Tony became a more and more experienced player for Scotland, he got better and better every year. Late 80s, early 90s, Tony McManus just got better and better with age. He was just a remarkable player for Scotland. His reading of the game and the way he could win a ball, no matter who was marking him. He was a great man to get out in front of his man and win it and turn and over the bar. It was absolutely brilliant. And I remember one time, I think it was maybe a 1990 campaign, Tony took a break for the first part of the league. Do you remember the league used to be played from October into...
That's right, yeah.
I think he took a break for the first game or two in pre-Christmas and was supposed to be out until the new year. But I remember he came back early and he came on a sub in one of the games, maybe against Meath. And like, it was like as if he was never away. It was just amazing, the scores he was taking. Out in front of his man, turning straight over the bar. You can still see him swinging his right boot at the ball and just curling it in. It was just, as a young fella watching, it was a joy to see. And he really got the crowd going as well. You know, he really, in a really positive way. That was Tony Mac. So the Roscommon scorers in 1990 in Portlaoise, Aidan, in the game we won, was Tony Mac got 2-5. Eamon Jr. got 4 points. Paul Early got 4 points, one from free. Michael Donnelly got 3 points, two from frees. John Newton got 2 points. Andy Leyland got 2 frees. Seamus Killorden got a point as well. So they were the Roscommon scorers. And the Dubs, Barney Rock scored a goal and three. One, a goal was a penalty. Kieran Duff scored 4 points. One was a free. Joe McNally and Niall Clancy scored 1-1 each. And then Paul Curran, Vinnie Murphy, Keith Barr and Tommy Carr all scored a point. So there was a great, great win for Roscommon in the league in 1990. Then went on to lose to Down in the semi-final. But in 91 then, we were really well beaten by Dublin in the league semi-final in Croke Park.
I think the contributor to that one the year after was maybe, you know, from that, Dublin obviously learned a lot from that game in 1990 to be able to turn it around in 1991 to beat Roscommon in the manner that they did. Like, they obviously, you know, really analysed that game and corrected everything that needed to be corrected, you know.
Well, I think from my recollection of the 1991 game, it looked like Roscommon, it happened in April, the game was in April, it looked like Roscommon were a little bit behind Dublin in terms of Dublin in 1991. This game happened in the middle of April in 1991, so Dublin were only 5 weeks away from playing Meath in the first round of the Championship. Do you remember that was the year that Meath and Dublin played the four games, the epic, the three...
Oh, great games, weren't they?
So like, Roscommon wouldn't have been playing maybe till the middle of June against Leitrim, or late June against Leitrim in the first round. So Dublin would have been further on in terms of their fitness and their preparation for Championship. And I remember that day in 91 in the league semi-final, I thought Roscommon were a little bit sluggish. You know, they looked...
Yeah.
Didn't look themselves at all. And they didn't look themselves the week before against Tyrone in Breffni Park when they won. Even though they did win the game, we were lucky to win it. And it told me anyway, I thought that they were maybe, Roscommon were still doing a lot of hard training, you know, in preparation for the championship. Because later on in the championship, Roscommon were very, very good. You know, they were good against Leitrim and Carrick. They were good in Mayo in the drawn match. They were very good in the replay. And then we should have beaten Meath in the All-Ireland semi-final. So it looked like the management were priming Roscommon to be fit and to peak at the championship time rather than peaking in early season. And you see that from time to time where teams can peak too early, you know, that they can, you know, that they're playing their best football in April and May. And then come July and August when the business end of the championship, they're running out of steam. Like I heard a quote once from Mick O'Dwyer, to the effect that Mick O'Dwyer really only got interested in hard training or hard slog whenever the cuckoo started singing. It was time for him to get going, you know, with the team around this time of the year, May, you know, May time. So that's when Kerry really started to, you know, up their training and get ready for the championship. And it reminds me of the great quote there from Paddy Joe Burke in Roscommon, you know, about the...
Oh, the legendary. Paddy Joe Burke, the number one supporter.
Yeah, Paddy Joe talks about tar melting, ice cream melting, cuckoo singing, flags flying, you know, championship time of the year. So, but in 91, Roscommon, like, let's face it, the league wasn't a priority, I'd say. They did very well to get to the semi-final. And then we won the Connacht Championship with a great team. We had a great manager. We had great leaders on that side. And we were good enough to be in an All-Ireland final. We were good enough to beat Meath that day in the semi-final. Whether we would have beaten Down in the final is another story. But if we're in the final, we know anybody can win a final. You know, it's all on the day. Roscommon would have gone into the All-Ireland final in 91 as underdogs against Down, I'd say. And if an underdog gets a good start and gets into the game and the crowd gets behind them and grow in belief, that Roscommon team had enough experience to go ahead and beat Down in a final. Because, you know, we spoke before about finals. You know, the favourites, the pressure's on them. And if things don't go their way, they start to doubt themselves and the belief can ebb out of them. You know, we saw in 92 Donegal were underdogs against Dublin. And everybody expected Dublin to just walk away with the game. But it just shows when the underdog gets a foothold in a game, gets a platform, takes their chances, then they start to grow in belief. The crowd gets behind them. And then the favourites start to doubt and doubt and doubt. And you see the confidence ebbing out of them, as happened to Dublin in 1992. Yeah. So theoretically, Roscommon could have won the All-Ireland in 91. If we had beaten Meath, we were in with a 50-50 chance against Down. And
I thought we were in very hard luck that year against Meath in the All-Ireland semi-final.
We weren't
that far off the pace. Gary Duggan scored a cracking goal as well, like, you know.
That was a game we should have won, really. We were the better team for, I'd say, 50 minutes of the game. You know, the problem, I think, for us was in that game, we didn't score enough in the first half when we were totally on top. We had a couple of goal chances. We had certainly one great goal chance early on. Paul Early had a great goal chance. He was unlucky, just went wide. But we had a 5 or 6 point lead, remember, after half time. And if that 5 or 6 point lead was a 9 or 10 point lead, I think we would have held on. Like, Meath beat us by a point. You know, that's all they beat us by. And I think we needed to be a little bit further ahead of them to hold on. We were trying to hold on with 5 points of a lead. But we needed another goal. We had a couple of chances. And if we had won that game and we got into the final against Down, with the quality, the belief we would have had from the semi-final victory and the quality of player we had, John Newton, Des Newton, Tony McManus, Eamon Jr., Paul Early, we had such experience that I think that we would have been a great shout of winning the All-Ireland, because the pressure would all have been on Down. They would be, you know, they'd never been beaten in a final. Everybody would expect them to win. They'd hammered Roscommon the year before in the league semi-final. So, like, if we got into the final, we could have done to Down what Down did to Meath, you know? So, like, on paper, Down would have been a better team, probably. But what's on paper goes out the window in a final. A final's a one-off, and anybody can win a final if there's, you know, any reasonably good team can win a final.
Once they're prepared, well. But really, I suppose another way of looking at it too would be, had Roscommon got to the All-Ireland final in 91, it would have been, from a Roscommon point of view, possibly the angle of, you know, some unfinished business, because there would have still been some players on, you know, Tony McManus and one or two other players on the team in 91 that would have been there back in 1980 or that, you know, when they were defeated by Kerry in the final. So it would have been, there would have been a sense there of nearly some unfinished business and maybe I'm wanting to go that one step further.
Absolutely. And if you look at it from the 91 team, like Tony McManus played in 1980. Des Newton was in the squad. He was cornerback in 91. And then, of course, Gay Sheridan was in goal. So there was three players. Two of them played in the 80 final. And Des was a sub. So, like, you had three players directly linked to the 1980 final. And, like, you have to hand it to those players the way that they looked after themselves and their commitment, that they were still playing for Roscommon 11
and
years after.
And it wasn't things weren't as scientific back then either. It was just things that were, I suppose, in some aspects they were ahead of the game, like, you know, in that sense, the way they looked after themselves and all that. And there was no, like, you know, you look at backroom staff nowadays and so, you know, you look at Dublin, they've like nearly 20 people in the backroom staff. But, you know, I mean, back then it was only, you know, you had the manager, the selectors and the physio and one or two others maybe. But nowadays there's nutritionists and psychologists and
assistant psychologist.
Yeah, assistant psychologist and, you know, analysts and statisticians and everything, you know, so, and video right. evidence and all that, you know. So, I mean, when you consider that they didn't have those kind of things back then, you know, back in 91 or even in 1980.
No.
They did quite well. Roscommon were, you know, the players were ahead of themselves in that sense as well.
It's a shame, Aidan, because that Roscommon team of 1990 and 91, them guys deserved to play in an All-Ireland final. And I think our chance, we had a chance against Meath in 91, but we had a great chance in 1989. I know people might forget that we lost the Connacht final replay to Mayo in Hyde Park. But you know something, Aidan, that was a game we should have won. We had the winning of that game. And if we won that, we would have been up against Tyrone. Now, Mayo won the Connacht final and went on to beat Tyrone, but Tyrone weren't a great team in 1989. And I think Roscommon could have beaten Tyrone in the semi-final in 89 to get in against Cork. And like it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Roscommon were good enough to win an All-Ireland that era. Like they were, we had a good goalie, we had a decent full-back line, we probably didn't have a centre-half back. You know, that's probably one position we hadn't got an out-and-out. Maybe you could argue that we did, but we maybe were lacking that area. We had a great midfield. In fact, we had John Newton, James Killorden, and we could play Paul Early there as well. And in the forwards, we had tremendous forwards. You know, Paul Early, Tony McManus, Vincent Glennon, Eamon McManus Jr. You know, you had Derek Duggan was very, very good in 1991 as well. So, like, you had Michael Donnellan as well. So, like, you had really good Tommy Graham. Look at that for a forward line, Aidan. We had enough good players to be in an All-Ireland final. And
players that would get on any team in the country.
Absolutely, yeah. Roscommon in 1989 to 1991 era, that 3 or 4 year period, Roscommon were good enough to play in an All-Ireland final. They deserved to be in an All-Ireland final. And as I said, when you're in a final, anybody can win a final, especially when you've got good players. And we had good players.
Finals all about on the day as well. You know, you can have the bookies saying this, that and the other and journalists and all that. But once the ball is thrown in, it's 50-50 in an All-Ireland final. Maybe other games might be a foregone conclusion dependent, but usually, and it's like they say about FA Cup games, you know, like it's the FA Cup can be a giant killer.
Yep.
You know, like where the Minnows can beat the David and Goliath, so to speak.
Yeah, and we've seen it so often in FA Cups over the years, like, you look back to Sunderland beat Leeds United in the FA Cup in 1973. They were the underdogs. Yeah. Southampton were a Division 2 team when they beat Man United in 76. In 1988, Wimbledon beat Liverpool. 2013, Wigan beat Manchester City, and Wigan were relegated that year. So, like, Coventry beat Spurs in 87, which was a big shock, you know. So, like, a final is a one-off occasion. It's an occasion where players can raise their game to a new level. Lesser players can raise their game, and they can grow in stature and belief throughout a final if they get a foothold in the game. If you can get a foothold in the game, you have a great chance. If you're in the game coming into the final stretch as an underdog, you have a great chance, because the favourites then start feeling the pressure. They start feeling that the expectation and the weight on their shoulders. And some teams who are favourites can't carry that mantle, and they fold. You can see it happening in front of your eyes, you know, in big games where the favourites collapse. And like in a normal course of events, you can see favourites winning 9 times out of 10. But in a final, the underdog can come. All those games I mentioned, like the FA Cups, like Sunderland in 73, Southampton in 76, Coventry in 87, Wimbledon in 88, and Wigan in 2013.
Yeah.
To all intents and purposes, if those two teams were to play 10 times, the favourites would win 9 of them. But on that one occasion, all those teams were underdogs, came through and won. And they won the prize.
That's it, because I mean, if you look it over in England, right? You know, the FA Cup is the giant killer. Anyone can beat anyone, you know, in that competition. But usually in the league, we say in Division One.
Yeah.
You know, there's very rarely any surprises. Liverpool would always beat a team mid table from mid table down, or you know, there was usually very little surprises. But another one I've seen. I don't know if you've ever seen the documentary on Paddy O'Shea, Lord of Mercy, and called Maroon after Maroon. Do you remember the quote where he said it was after a training session, I think, where they had drawn with Leash.
Yeah,
and it was a training session between the first game and the replay, and he was talking to the lads in the training session, and he said, and it's absolutely true when you think about it, a grain of rice can tip the scales.
Correct, Aidan. Absolutely.
I thought that was a brilliant, that was a very good analogy, like, you know.
Well, it's the feather that breaks the camel's back, isn't it? Like, it's the smallest margins that can, you know, that you said the grain of rice can tip the scales, no question about it. And, and it's like, for the underdog in a final to go in with the belief, and they have the preparation done, and they've no expectation from outside. And you spoke a few weeks ago about teams being in the bubble, you know, being keeping everything. Like, the whole world can say that a team has no chance, but if that team inside the bubble have their homework done, have their preparation, have the work done on training, if they're in the final, that should give them belief in itself. They're there for a reason. They haven't fluked their way through it. So it's a great chance then for an underdog to come in and create a shock. And isn't it great to see shocks happening, like, from time to time, you know? And like, you take snooker there. Like, go back to the 80s, Steve Davis won all around him. And then this guy, Joe Johnson, from Bradford, came from nowhere. And he won the World Snooker Championship. You know, he just came from nowhere and won.
That's the beauty of sport, really, isn't it?
Like in 1985, Boris Becker was unseeded. He was only 17. He came from nowhere and won Wimbledon. You know, he beat Ivan Lendl. Like, you know, it's in the final. You see, Ivan Lendl was a great tennis player. He got to so many Wimbledon finals, but he never won one. The pressure just got to him. And he was probably the favourite for them all, Aidan. You know, he lost to Pat Cash. He lost to Becker. You know, I think he may have lost. I don't know if he lost to McEnroe, but Ivan Lendl was the best player in the world, but he just couldn't win in Wimbledon, whatever it was just the pressure. And it's amazing to think he didn't win there, you know. But you see these guys coming out of nowhere and winning Wimbledon once, like, you know, Pat Cash, Richard Krajicek did in 96, you know, and same with the snooker. You know, Joe Johnson came and out of nowhere and won the World Championship. Like, Dennis Taylor beat Steve Davis. Like, he was that was a great example of the underdog coming back with nothing to lose and the pressure getting to Steve Davis. Steve Davis was winning that by 8 frames to none. And Dennis Taylor came back in. And
you could nearly kind of see the same with Mayo as well. Like, you know, great team. They had a great panel of players over the last 10 years. And, you know, they've been getting to the All-Ireland. Like we said, obviously we know that their last All-Ireland win was in the 1950s or something. But you know that they've been getting to All Ireland finals, you know, since 2010, and they do. You know, in fairness, it takes a lot to get an All Ireland final. But whatever it seemed to be in an All Ireland final, they just couldn't. With the players they had, they just couldn't get that final step. Like, you know, I mean, they've taken the likes of they've taken two or three, you know, the Dublin teams to replays.
Yeah.
But it was just that, I think that ounce of experience or that marginal thing is what would it for Dublin. And it was a shame that that Mayo hadn't won at least one All Ireland in that period, wasn't it?
Shame, Aidan, absolutely. Like, if you look at it, like, they were in the final in 89. They had Cork, they'd beaten that Cork team. They scored a goal, Anthony Finnerty got a goal, and then he missed one shortly after that could have sunk Cork, because Cork were coming in having lost the two finals before that, you know, in 87 and 88. So Mayo had the winning of that game. They had the winning of the 96 final, you know, the drawing game and the replay.
Yeah.
And then in 97, for some reason, they left Pat Holmes on Morris Fitzgerald throughout the match, and Morris Fitzgerald more or less won that game on his own. That wasn't a great Kerry team. But Mayo could have won that game if, like, there wasn't much in it in the end, a couple of points. Then you come into 2012, their next final. Or sorry, 2004, they got hammered by Kerry.
Yeah.
The game was over. It wasn't a contest. 2006, the same. It wasn't a contest. You know, they were beaten before the game got going. But you come back then to the finals that they were in this last decade. In 2012, they just let in two goals to Mayo in the first 5 minutes, and they were playing catch up after that, and they were probably the better team after that. But that frailty in the opening 5 minutes cost them. And then 2013 against Dublin, to just let in two soft goals. You know, there was nothing between themselves and Dublin. There was only a point in it. But Bernard Brogan got, in my opinion, two soft goals that day. One was a high ball in between himself and the full back, and the goalie came out, and Brogan just put up his hand and flicked it over the two of them into the net. It was a very poor goal to give away. And similarly, the second goal, like, could have been, in my opinion, stopped as well, because the full back came out to meet the man coming through, and Brogan was left inside on his own, and somebody should have been able to read that the ball was going to be hand passed into Brogan, you know. But that was in 2013. And then you look at the 2016 final, like, they had the winning of that game, and then 2017, the 2-1 goals, you know, the 2-1 goals, and then the replay, then the calamity with the goalkeeper. So, like,
yeah, because I mean, in those first games that they play, you know, and those games that went to replays, they could have won those games.
Aidan, all of those games that James Horden and Rochford were in charge of in those finals, 12, 13, 16, and 17, Mayo had the winning of all of those matches. The four finals that were played and the two replays, they had the winning of all of those games. They had the winning of the 2015 semi-final as well, when they lost to Dublin in the semi-final. They led it by five points at one stage in the second half, and they went up the field, and I remember with a 5-point lead, they had a good chance, and the ball was kicked into Cluxton's hands. They were going for a point, and Dublin came down the field and got two goals in jig time, and they were gone. You know what I mean? It was like Mayo didn't have that killer instinct, Aidan. You know, it's like Jimmy White in snooker. Jimmy White was in six finals and lost them all. Mayo have been in six finals and lost. Do you know what I mean? We're speaking about underdogs. Mayo probably weren't the underdogs. Mayo were better than probably as good as, if not better than, the opposition they played in all of those finals. It's just whatever happened.
I think it's that killer instinct. Yeah, you have to have that killer instinct, don't you? That, you know, you don't care about the opposition. You just want to put them away, and that's it.
Well, it's key to take your chances. And like football, football's about taking your chances when they arise and preventing sloppy scores being given away. You know, and if you're giving away sloppy scores, like Mayo did, and miss good chances, like Mayo did, then good teams end up with no silverware. And that team deserved an All-Ireland. There's no question. Mayo were an absolutely brilliant team. And it's a shame they didn't get one. And that team is not going to get one now. Like Lee Keegan, Colin Boyle, Shamie O'Shea, Andy Morden, Tom Parsons, David Clark, Keith Higgins, they all deserved All-Ireland medals, every one of them. Yeah. And it's a shame and a pity that they're not going to get one. Killian O'Connor, he still has time. but it's unlikely that generation. That's the golden generation of Mayo football, that generation, in my opinion, the 2012 to 2017 team. Four finals, a semi-final. You know, they were lucky in two semi-finals in 14, they lost the replay to Kerry. But look at Aidan, in that semi-final that day in Crow Park in 2014 against Kerry, there were 5 points up in that game as well towards the end. And Donaghy came in full forward and he got a high ball in and he scored a goal and they got an equaliser. And they beat them down in the replay in Limerick in a thriller. They had the game won in Crow Park the first day. Then they had Dublin on the rack in the semi-final in 15 as well. They were 5 points up. So, like, it's a shame. There were six years in a row where Mayo were beaten and they were terribly unlucky in them all. You know, it's a shame. I'm really, as a Connacht man, if Roscommon are out of it, I'd love to see a Connacht team win. I'm sure I speak for most people living in Connacht. And I'd love to see Mayo win in All-Ireland. There's no question about it. But terribly unlucky.
It could be a while, unfortunately, because they have to wait for enough players to come through and then those players have to build experience on the senior panel to be able to make a difference in the years to come.
And that's why I hope we can come in and fill the vacuum that Mayo had. You know, Mayo had dominance. We should be, and hopefully we will be, as Roscommon go forward, to take on that level of being a very competitive team in Connacht and hopefully challenging for and winning the Connacht Championships and challenging at the higher levels as well. And I think hopefully Anthony Cunningham will get that out of Roscommon, that we can go forward.
Because, I mean, in 2017, I remember I was at that game, the Mayo game, the Roscommon Mayo game in Croke Park, the quarter final.
Yeah.
And the first day, Roscommon should have won that day. And, you know, they were brilliant that day.
Yeah.
But then it was like a game of two halves. Like, Roscommon should have won the first day. They had the talent to win it. They had the chances to win it. They were unlucky not to win in many ways. But then in the in the replay, I've never seen such a performance from Mayo. You know, they just blew us away. It was a bank holiday Monday, I think. Yeah. You remember that? It was a lovely sunny day. I wasn't at the replay now, but
Aidan,
you know, they were so awesome. And then they went on to beat Kerry.
That's right, in the semi final, yeah.
Yeah, and but it was just like when they got to the All Ireland final, whatever it was.
Yeah, they had all of those games. There was only a point in it. You know, they lost to Donegal by 2 points, to Dublin in 14 and 13 by a point. I think in 16 they lost by a point, and they lost by a point in 17. Do you remember Dean Rock scored the last kick of the game from a free? So, like, they've been terribly unlucky, you know. So. But hopefully Roscommon, like that 17 game that we lost to Mayo, like in Croke Park, that's a game we could have won, as you said. You know, we got the great, we were 2-2 to no score ahead nearly, and we let Mayo come up for a soft goal. Do you remember it was a deflected goal by Lee Keegan? Yeah. And that sort of gave them a lifeline in the game. And
we got players sent off that day as well.
We did?
In 2017, I mean, sorry.
Yeah, okay. But the replay, we just didn't show up. Why? You have to ask yourself why we didn't perform the second day. You know, if you can, I know replay is a totally different dynamic, but if you can perform to a certain level on day one, there's no reason why you can't perform the next day as well. You know, I know Mayo played better, but if you see the way Mayo started the replay, they just ran through the heart of our defence. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Keith Higgins got a goal in the first few minutes. And there was hardly a hand laid on him. You know, I'm not saying that in a bad way, but he got in too easy. Like, he just came straight down the middle, you know. Yeah. And that's something we spoke about before. Roscommon tightening up in the back, you know, making ourselves more sturdy in that sector. And I think last year we did become a stronger entity in the back, Aidan, you know. So, but if you start leaking soft goals like that early in the game, you're playing catch-up. And then Mayo then got another... They got another goal and we were out of it. You know, we were beaten before we got started really in the replay. So, but, you know, finals are there to be won by generally the favourite will win it, but it's not a foregone conclusion that the underdog has no chance. They always have a chance. And take Armagh and Kerry in 2002. Like, Kerry still would have been a raging hot favourites to win that game. And like at half time, it looked like Kerry were going to win. They were a few points up. Armagh had missed a penalty and then come out in the second half and Armagh just got on top and got more and more belief and Kerry's belief started to ebb away and it was brilliant to see it, you know. So, but as I said,
down in 91, Donegal in 92, you know, a and Down played again in 94, I think
that's
it
right.
was, and then Derry won it in 93.
That's
so
right.
I'm just supposed to show you what can happen.
Oh, yeah. There's no reason. Hopefully Roscommon this year can go forward, as I said, and take Mayo's mantle. But it won't be easy. Roscommon, are a fine team. There's no question about it. But, Connacht Championship is wide open. Galway, Mayo and Roscommon are probably, on an equal par. And having said that Mayo are no longer the team they were, doesn't mean that they're not a good team still. They have still some serious quality. And we were, hard pressed to beat them last year, but we beat them fair and square. But let's hope that, Mayo had their chance and they had their dominance, and let's hope in the next few years it'll be us, Aidan, getting to Croke Park and having those opportunities to do very well at the highest level in football, So
that's it. Going up the steps in the Hogan Stand in Croke Park. I mean that'll be the pinnacle. And who's to say that it can't happen? I mean, the Miners did it in 2006. They won it. So you'd like to see that the seniors doing it.
Absolutely, Aidan. Could I just mention, Aidan, while I'm there, in the course of just looking up some research on Roscommon and Dublin for 1990-91, I came across a report for Roscommon CBS in 1992, Aidan, were in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling B final.
Oh, I remember that final, yeah. I was at that game.
Against Abbey CBS from Tipperary.
Yeah.
And it was a great game by all accounts. Abbey CBS won 4-8 to 1-7. And it was a second half rear guard action from a brilliant Abbey CBS defence that kept a brave Roscommon side at bay and allowed them to win their first All Ireland Senior B Championship colleges at Tullamore. So, and the paper said, with a little bit of better fortune, Roscommon would have been closer to the Tipperary team, but it wasn't to be. And it said that Roscommon were aided by the wind in the first half. In the second half, and they came back at Tipperary. Roscommon had to play against the strong wind in the first half, and while they held their opponents well, just 1-1 to a point after 12 minutes, subsequent events proved vital in the end after the winners finally found their scoring boots. Within a space of 7 minutes, Abbey CBS scored 2-4, both goals coming from their forward Maloney, the first after Malcolm Dalton had saved splendidly from Alan MacDonald. And then Liam Murray scored his second point from a free to give Roscommon hope. But then a shot from Collins was deflected out of Malcolm Dalton's path by the fullback Tom Healy that gave the Tipperary team a 4-6 to 2 point interval lead. So in the second half, Roscommon CBS outscored Abbey CBS by 1-5 to 2 points, Aidan. But it was just those goals that did the damage in the first half.
That's it. And, I remember that match well. And of course, it has to be acknowledged as well. And many of Roscommon J fan would know that, Roscommon CBS is a huge contributor to the county minors. It's kind of one of the nurseries really in Roscommon. Like if you had any aspirations of getting onto the Roscommon minors, that was one of the pathways to getting into the Roscommon minor panel. And indeed, players went on then and played senior as well. So it plays a huge factor in Roscommon teams at underage level and going through to the senior level down the years as well.
Absolutely, and it's so the school system is so important. You take rugby, soccer, hurling, and Gaelic football in Ireland. You look at the great schools like in Connacht, Jarlath, Atchoom, all the players they have churned out for Galway, Mayo over the years. Roscommon CBS, the players they have provided to Roscommon. Summerhill College used to in Sligo be a nursery for Roscommon players. It was the diocesan. So a lot of people back in the 60s, 70s, 50s would go to Summerhill College and play there. You take in the hurling, you have St. Kieran's in Kilkenny, you have St. Flannan's in Ennis, you have St. Coleman's or Fermoy. They're great hurling nurseries in Munster.
Absolutely.
And in the rugby colleges, Black Rock, Clongowes, Newbridge College, Ross Grey, all those private colleges, you know, they churn out great, you know, colleges, rugby teams, and Manny's the player that plays with the colleges, go on to play for Ireland and Leinster, Munster, you know, and Connacht. In the north, then you have Campbell College, you have Methodist College, you have, you know, you have Coleraine High School, all produce, Armagh High School, all produce great rugby players for Ulster and for Ireland. And in the soccer, you have, like, so Belvedere College in Dublin, you know, famous nursery, Damien Duff went there. You know, so you have great schools as well that provide great players in all sports. And so you're right that the schools is so important. St. Mel's in Longford, where I went to, was a great nursery.
Connor
went there. And like in 92, Aidan, when we were in the minor team, there were seven of the panel went to St. Mel's in Longford. There was Connor Kennelly, Donald Carroll from Kilmore, myself, Keith Murphy from St. Foyle's, Dermot Washington from Kilglass here, Richard Glover from Strokestown, and Ross O'Callaghan from Elphin. So there's seven, which was a great turnout. Like, and then from the rest of the Roscommon squad in 92, we had Liam Murray, Alan Nolan, Kevin Keegan. They all came from the CBS, and Conor Kennelly. Conor Kennelly was in the CBS as well. So there's two schools, Aidan, that nearly made up a Roscommon minor team. Do you know?
There you go, yeah. It just goes to show you how key, like you said,
I'll just give you the CBS team there in 1992, Aidan. Yeah. Malcolm Dalton was in goals. You can tell me the rest of the players. Malcolm Dalton was a good friend of mine, super guy from Roscommon. El Fannin was cornerback. Tom Healy, fullback. S. Lohan, cornerback. D. Gately, right halfback. Kevin Keegan, centre back. Alan Dolan, left halfback. Alan's from St. Dominic's.
Great hurler as well as a footballer. Yeah.
Great footballer too. Midfielder Liam Murray and Alan Nolan. That's some midfield. Two great players. Yeah. And then you had Alan MacDonald, A. MacDonald, P. Connolly, and then Donald Donnelly from Dominic's was left half forward.
Yeah.
Corner forward, is that P. Hannon? Paul Hannon?
Yeah.
Paul Hannon. And Paul, I think Paul scored a goal for the Gaels that day. For the CBS. Paul's a great goalkeeper as well. Jay Haughey, full forward, and D. Gannon, corner forward.
D. Gannon from St. Dominic's.
And would Jay Haughey be Anthony to Haughey, Johnny Haughey from At League?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be related to Johnny. Johnny Haughey is a real legend, isn't he? A Roscommon hurling, like, you know.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I saw an article of Johnny in the paper recently. It's great to see him still going strong, you know, after all the years. And the sub, Aidan, would you believe, on the Roscommon CBS hurling team in 92, C. Kennelly for Connolly, late Conor Kennelly.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Lovely. Lord of Mercy, Conor. So he came on. So it's nice to wrap up our programme, really, with mention of the great Conor Kennelly playing in the All-Ireland Colleges Hurling B Final, Senior B Final in 1992. That game was played in Tullamore, Aidan.
That's right.
And it was played on the 26th of April, 1992.
Well, I remember it well. I was at that game, and it was a great game.
Yeah.
Great game of hurling, yeah.
And the senior hurling final was played the same day, and St. Kieran's of Kilkenny beat St. Coleman's of Fermoy by 1-7 to 8 points on that day.
Yeah.
And the All-Ireland Senior Football College's final was played on the same day, and St. Giarlath's of Tuam lost to St. Brendan's of Killarney by, I think, 11 points to 8. So there we have it all, Aidan.
There you go. So that's a great show for all Roscommon GAA fans. Another great trip down memory lane, fair to say, Ray.
Absolutely, and it's nice to reminisce about the great Roscommon team that Martin McDermott and the selectors put together in the late 80s, early 90s. Real heroes, I'm sure, for many people, especially when we were growing up, Aidan, around that time as teenagers. We looked up to those players playing for Roscommon, and we got so much enjoyment watching them. And the great days out they gave us in Tullamore, or Portlaoise rather, in Croke Park, Castlebar, Hyde Park. You know, they gave it everything deserved more. They deserved, that team deserved more than they got. They got two college championships. They deserved more. They were a great team.
That's it. And I think that's one thing about sport. You know, you could be the greatest player, and Tony Mack will be a perfect example of this. You don't always get no matter what you put into it, you don't always get what you deserve out of sport. Sometimes you do, you're lucky enough.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose for myself, I was very lucky with Roscommon Gaels. I was lucky to be with some very talented teams and we won county titles and all that. But then, you know, I look at other clubs and I appreciate what I won and, you know, titles that I won and medals that I won, because you see other brilliant players in other clubs and they never win anything.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, like, and so it's kind of, you know, when you do get it, you have to treasure them, because medals at any level, at club level or county level, county titles don't come too easy. People need to appreciate them, but them are the days. And, you know, some people get to play in Croke Park and some people don't. And, you know, people, you know, but that's sport, like, you know, and, you know, we often said there a few times where, you know, Tony Mack was one of the best players never to win an All-Star, but, you know, I suppose he featured in our, that'll be another team that we're going to have.
He did win an All-Star in 89, Aidan.
Yeah.
He did win one, but he only won one. He should have won a lot more than one. He should have won more. He should have been awarded more. He was entitled to win more. But with great memories of watching him play, and one of the all time greats in Roscommon football, there's no question. Tony McManus, you know, Dermot Earley, Tony McManus, Gerry O'Malley, you know, it's hard to beat those guys, you know.
You know, people can still learn from them, because of course, you know, you have YouTube now and again, and now as well, and you know, for any kids growing up now, if they want to learn from some of the greats, have a look on YouTube, and they'll see any amount of videos from the likes of Tony Mack, you know, his performances at Dermot Earley, and you know, all those. But listen, it's been a great show, and thanks very much, Ray, for another great show, and. I suppose we cover the All Ireland Junior Final that Roscommon won there in 2003. Some great players featured.
Absolutely,
fellow club man of mine, Paul Noon, and that was a cracking senior or a cracking junior team. So we might touch base on that next week.
Great, Aidan. Sure. Yeah, and of course Shane Curran captained that team as well. Shane from People Forget. He won an All Ireland with Roscommon Juniors as well as with St Bridget's. We'll do that, Aidan, so next week.
No problem. Thanks very much, Ray, and that's Ray Lannan, former Roscommon goalkeeper.